Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dallas, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
What it do, y'all? This is King Eric from Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in for exclusive episode. I know I'm doing this a little bit different right now. I had to do a little sound check to make sure everything was working right. But nevertheless, we got a double header lined up tonight. Two back-to-back talented artists is going to be on this platform tonight for this double header. And the show right here is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Cocaine Buddy Boy Entertainment, The Cotton Pickers, Jesse's Boutique and Core Financial. I got my host T-Match with the facts in the building.
What it do, y'all. Another Super Sunday of OTC up in the building off the cuff. As King eloquently so mentioned, we have an awesome array of sponsors that help us get this thing done. And once again, for y'all, we got another fantastic show ready to get it on the road, man. King, tell everybody about our first guest tonight.
Yes, sir, man. Resident from Louisiana. This brother been putting it down for a minute. He's on his independent grind right now. And first of all, I also want to send a big shout-out to Angela Covington for getting this put together, for linking us up with such talented artists and putting them in our resume. So without further ado, let's introduce Louisiana's own PAT Louisiana Finest, y'all.
Jip.
Yeah. What's happening?
What it do,
what's
man?
What's up, brother?
What it do?
Man, you know, we out here grinding, man. Out here grinding. How y'all fellas doing tonight?
We good,
hey,
man.
Hey, we good,
Lord,
man.
Look, you represent
down
bottom, man.
Yes, sir. I like
bottom,
to hear that.
Man. Yeah, man. Look, representing down bottom, man. Look, we doing this in Metairie. We doing this in New Orleans. We doing this in Baton Rouge. We doing this all over from Florida all the way.
Yes, sir.
Look, man, look.
The whole
side. We tapping in.
The whole side.
Yeah, man. Look, Calio, all that, man. Great to have you with us.
Yes, sir. Yeah, great to be man. Here. It's a pleasure.
Definitely, man. We tap it in with the whole South. As Andre says, the source. The South got something to say, man. And that's why we got you on here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what's up.
Definitely, man. So,
But to start things off, man, first of all, we want to ask you, man, how's everything going with y'all out there? Because I know y'all got hit bad with that hurricane. And how y'all maintaining?
Well, basically, you know, the resilience is real tough because we done been through it so many times. And, you know, it's still a process, and then they have another one that's like trying to creep his way and stick his little ugly head out of there. But you know, we built for it. So shout out to everybody who was impacted by all of the craziness that be going on. I'm sending much prayers and much love to everybody, man. Do anything that you can to just, you know, show love, no matter what it is. If you're saying a word, if you're sending a dollar, it don't matter what it is. Whatever you can, you know what I'm saying? Just have a thought about it and it's good, because I promise you, it all helps.
Yeah, most definitely, man. And one thing about it down south with y'all, man, one thing is, y'all known for the two F's, food and fight, and y'all got a lot of both in terms of how y'all, you know, bring it from both sides in terms of no matter what, you know, the obstacle is, y'all going to fight it. And we know y'all food is just fresh to death down there in terms of all types of eateries, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so definitely y'all got a lot of... Definitely, man. So y'all got a lot of tradition from culinary to the culture in terms of hip-hop. Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. How'd you get involved in this thing called hip-hop and, you know, your influences, all of that?
Man, you know, it's a beautiful story. It's a little boy growing up hearing something that made me feel good, that made me feel like, oh, man, I got to be a part of this. So that's basically the start. And, to be honest, whenever I started rapping, it was more so one of my homeboys. I'm watching everybody do cyphers and stuff and not believing that it was even possible for, you know, us to be a part of it or be able to do it. You know, you see people on TV, you think it's fake. Like, oh, man, you know, like that's not attainable pretty much. I ain't believe New York was there until I actually went there and touched it. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely,
so it was like,
man,
it's a big deal with me to like actually see something myself. So like, you know, as far as me starting, somebody, one of my partners, he told me Big Twice. He was like, you hear all the songs on the radio, you listen to them, you like them, you love them, you know them. He said, what if you wrote your own stuff, memorize that and know it, you spitting it. He said, it's the same thing. And, you know, I never took it, you know, like where it was at the time, but it kept ringing in my head. So I was good with poems. I figured I'd try to write something. I spit it one night at a homecoming dance, and it was a homecoming football game, and everybody went crazy. It's like the game stopped. It was halftime, but the game, everybody just paused, and they look our way. And I just remember that feeling, and I was just like, man, you know what? Hey, I'm never going to leave this alone. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Straight up.
Look, cue the Jodeci, you had your fiending once you got a flavor for what was going on with it.
Oh, you better believe it.
And I mean,
you better believe,
you know, looking at the traditions that you come from, man. I mean, of course, you know, we got Master P, you know, we got UNLV, I mean, we got Cash Money, you know, we got Currency, you know, we got Boosie coming out.
The
guys, man.
Yes, yeah, sir. Every last one of them, super huge influence. Imagine, you know what I'm saying? They was attainable. They was the ones I could go see a show. DJ Jubilee, you know what I'm saying? Like you say, Cash Money and Master P. I saw people out in the street hustling, you know what I'm saying, and doing things like moving them CDs and putting things up on the block. Before I even knew what a street team was, I saw that in person. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was like, it gave me motivation. It made me want to do it. Like, ooh, I could do that. I could do that, man. I'm talking about to a point to where I could sell a CD to a person and it'd be blank and they'd still be happy. Because I never sold them the actual music. I sold them me.
Right.
You feel me?
And I think
that's amazing.
Yeah. And,
yes, sir.
And one thing about it, you know what I'm saying, Pat, is when you're talking about, you know, your music, it's one thing that you really have to get people engaged, because music is one thing in terms of what you market, but it's also the personality that makes it, that ultimately, but also the personality that's going to make it in terms of how you have the longevity, because once you build that base with everybody, you know, that's how, you know, it comes the way it comes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. Man, they had one guy, he heard me, like, just spitting in a cypher. We was just chilling. Everybody was relaxing, you know, partying. They was drinking, whatever. And, man, I tell you, he heard me rap, and he said, man, I got to get a CD, man. I got to get a CD of North Louisiana. First time ever meeting the guy, you know what I'm saying? Never knew him before that. Paid $100 for a CD. Right then and there. Mm-hmm. He didn't have no change. He said, man, I ain't got no change. He said, man, that's yours. You keep that. I was like, man, I'm going to get you change. He's like, nah, man, that's for you. He said, it's worth it. It's worth it. Man, and that started, you know, helping me realize the value of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, wow. Man. Yep. And what was that moment like realizing that you could get paid doing what, you know, getting paid? You know, tell us about that process in terms of, you know, from when you started selling the CDs to when you started doing shows, you know, all of that. I mean, what was that like when you realized, like, yo, I can make this a career?
Man, at first I was like everybody else. I was up here thinking, oh, man, I got to work. I got to go and do this job and make sure I take care, give these bills and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, I'm not saying never knock work. You know what I'm saying? Never, ever, ever, ever. If that's what you got to do, you got to grind to shine. You know what I'm saying? So, like, this was just a different type of work. And I knew I could actually get, you know, monetized from it. So it's like a monetary gain in it. I'm going for it. And I remember one time, man, it was a video shoot. I did a freestyle contest. I had won in a city right next to me, Lafayette, Louisiana. I'm from Opelousas, Louisiana, and Lafayette, like, maybe 15 minutes down the street. And so I won a freestyle contest, and the freestyle contest was to be in a video with Bushwick Bill, rest in peace to him, and a couple of other cats, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I was so focused on the job, I wouldn't, like, I'm a big, huge, you know, Ghetto Boys fan off the top. Bushwick for show, Scarface for show, Willie D for show. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to just tell them, they going to understand. My job wanted me to go to the job. I end up missing the video and not getting in the video. Still was cool with them, still met them, did shows with them and all that. But he told me, he was like, you know what? These type of things and these type of opportunities, they only come once in a lifetime. You don't let it pass you. You know, you don't miss it or something like that. He said, man, they always gonna have jobs out there. You know, you gotta chase. Right. If this what you want for real, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to make sure you make the sacrifices to get it. And when I got that information from him, I promise you I ain't never let it go and kept on moving like that ever since.
And it has to resonate so much because people got to understand in terms of work, like you said, man, there's nothing wrong with having a legitimate, you know, 9-to-5 because that's what we all got to do, you know, in terms of before we actually get to the next level. And sometimes in the image, you know, what goes on with social media, everybody's trying to act like they live in it, they made it. And the reality is it don't come overnight. And
it don't.
And have those about 4 or 5 different hustles. Let's see, we're doing like 4 or 5 different
hustles. Yes, sir. Yeah.
But it's also, too, like you said, when you have an opportunity, yeah, that's like Barry Sanders hitting daylight when you see when he's that hole, and you got to just got to be shifty and quick, and then you just, bam, you go through it.
Yes, sir.
So
extremely important.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, and you coming up in Louisiana and you start seeing these monuments like Cash Money and No Limit rising, man, how much of an impact was that in the city?
Man, it was everything, because it made it more attainable. That's what I was saying. Like, it made it reachable. It's like, oh, for real, somebody like that did it, and they could do it coming from here? Oh, my goodness, man. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It might have not been the same thing. You might have not had the exact same hustle, but it so happened that whenever I grab a hold to that music and it grab a hold of me, then I knew I could do that. You know what I'm saying? Selling CDs, it was actually putting together a project first. after you put together that project, you get in the studio and you start doing some stuff and you feel like, oh, okay, this sound good, like it sound good. And other people start telling you, man, you got something right there, or this is fire, and everything you do is fire. You start hearing those things, and then you're like, all right, well, then I can package it up and I can sell it. And then you get out there in the streets and you try it and you see. And you hear people talking, man, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. Man, if you're going to give me something, it better be hot, you know, all that. and then you put the CD in and you watch their reaction. That used to be a lot to me, because if I could see your reaction right in, then and there, I knew what I was working with, but I had to see it to believe it. You know what I'm saying? So it was like everybody catching it when they catch it for the first time, and they're like, oh, man, it's better than the radio. Like, it's better than all the cats that I be hearing. Where you been?
Right.
Why we got Soulja Boy instead of you? And I'm like, oh bruh. Like, things like that to me is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because they will say whatever. And I told them, like, anybody who tell me something about somebody else, I just be like, man, look, hey, it's cool. I appreciate that. But that's another person that's grinding. That's another person that had a thought. They was working with nothing from scratch. And then they came up with whatever it is that they came up with. Sometimes it's foolishness, and sometimes we could do without it. But at the end of the day, if you had to grind to get it, man, I salute that. Respect, put my hat up and everything, man, because that's hip-hop. We don't knock nobody down unless you're doing something foul and all the way wrong. You know what I'm saying? So if it's not that, then it's uplifting.
Definitely, man. So take us through your first project in terms of the process with it. You know, in terms of, you know, when you really sat down, put it together. How'd you come up with it, and what was it like in terms of that recording process?
Oh, man, the first one was like, you know, 100% doing exactly what another fellow Louisianan, a.k.a. the greatest rapper alive, quote, unquote. That's just, you know what I'm saying, the quote that they use. Hey, man, I had to go ahead and help him knock it all the way out the park, because Lil Wayne did No Ceilings. And that right there was like everybody's like best album, whatever your best album, your greatest album, the first album that you felt like that was the top and nothing could top it, that was it for everybody, you know, at that time. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take all of those beats, every single beat that he rapped on, I'm rapping on. And then I might add some more. I might change it up. And that's what I did. And his was No Ceilings. I called mine No Rooftops. Because if you walk into a building, it's still got a ceiling. Or if it don't have a ceiling, it still has a roof right on top of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I done worked in houses when they were still in the rough stage. And, you know, we had houses that had no ceiling, no wall, but they still had a roof. So I was like, okay, he knocked the ceilings down, but let me take the roof off this mug. And
I like that.
I'm telling you, hey, all the tracks were super fire. I'm talking about crazy. I went on the road with it. I sold it. I performed it. Was doing tours. Man, the feedback was crazy. Some people would tell me, man, I don't even hear Lil Wayne version no more. I only hear yours.
Oh, wow.
And that,
what was that like?
Give me the chill still today.
What was that like that he didn't get that type of praise, seeing Wayne had already set the bar and basically you upped it up a couple of notches?
Man, it was like exactly what I set out to do, but never expected it to really be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't thinking that nobody else was going to feel like that, but I felt like that, and I know why I did it. But I never thought I would hear those type of things and those words. And this was like constant everywhere. I'm talking about down south, Florida, New York, of course, Louisiana, a couple of little sprinkles in between, and all the way on the West Coast up north, like Washington and Oregon and North Cali and stuff like that. I mean, I went in a lot of places, bro, and it was like 30 tracks of craziness. So it kind of like started a trend. It started a trend, and that's how it started. And then next thing you know, I started doing I did a trilogy. So that one was the first one. No Rooftops was the first one, and then I did No Atmosphere, and then No Time. And I promise you, like, man, these things, man, oh my goodness, they got some crazy stuff that's on there, some classic stuff like this. The things, it still sit with people today, and they still tell me how much of an impact that it makes on them. And so, you know, that keeps the motivation going to keep on doing everything that I'm doing now.
So the name of it is Rooftops, right?
No Rooftops.
No Rooftops. Gotcha.
30 tracks of craziness.
Now, what is it like in terms of building that buzz, in terms of really getting your name out there? Because for a lot of artists, you know, that's the, one of the biggest things. You know, King and myself, we've been blessed to do this show, and we've talked to a lot of people in terms of, you know, in terms of watching their movement. And, you know, you have some artists who don't understand, you know, that you're not really big until you actually are, like, really traveling and your shit is outside of your area. How did you generate that word of mouth the way that you did, to where you have these different fan bases in all these different areas and such diverse, you know, codes? You know, New York.
Man. Yes, sir. I had to get out there and go touch it. Like, that's what happened. And, you know, at first I never knew that it was just a simple thing or an easy thing to do. I mean, I know that it was a high possibility I could get on a plane or get on a bus, but, you know, coming from where I'm from is not that easy. I ain't got the bread at the time. I'm young. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm supporting my own habits, so to speak. So I had to check it out, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I checked out the Greyhound, and back then I would say it was a nice little early thing that they did, like an extended thing where you could get a ticket ahead of time. And, man, I bought all kind of Jordans whenever I was young. You know what I'm saying? So, like, those Jordans that I was buying, $140, $160, $200, man, they had a bus ticket that I could get to New York 2 weeks in advance for $85 or something, $89. And I was man, I could go to New York for $89? I was like, bro, this is, man, I'm going to New York. No family, no friends, no nothing. No nothing in place, nothing. I just went. And that's how it happened.
And what was it like when you touched down in the Big Apple in terms of seeing all the buildings and just really being at the Mecca of where it all started?
Oh, man, it felt amazing. But at the same time, I had to be on my Louisiana, you know, instinct type of stuff, because the rats was attacking me. Big, super huge rats. I was like, man, I never understood it until I actually got there. And then when I got there, it was, man, I was on the phone, and I'm trying to make a phone call. They got a rat looking at me like I'm not supposed to be there. Like, that's his block. And I'm infringing
like
on his block.
Shit,
oh,
like
man. And you don't want to do him nothing. And you don't want to do him nothing. You know, like, at first you stomp at the rat not doing nothing. You holler, you scream, you step towards him, and he's still right there. Like, man, they ain't playing. They ain't worried about no people. They had one time I was in the Bronx by Gun Hill, and, man, I promise you, I step on a rat. They had some people, like, ladies in a hairdressing parlor, and everybody's screaming. So I'm like, man, what are they screaming for? Somebody shooting? Somebody got a gun? Like, you know, I don't know what's happening. Maybe it's a fight. Man, as soon as I walk by the door, I'm trying to look to see what's going on. It's a rat running through. So I stomp on the rat. The rat bounces off of the concrete. Like, I stumped him, and then he kept running. I was 14. real. I was 14. He was supposed to be done.
Man, them rats got 9 lives out there.
Man, I think they got 45.
They put some steroids in them rats or something.
Like, hey, man. They eating good, whatever they doing.
Yeah, boy, because I've seen a couple pictures of those exterminators out there where they got them, and I'm like, them things, I had to look twice and be like, man, is that shit really what I think it is? I'm like, I don't know how them things, oof.
They really real, man. They really real.
And they got rats big. Them rats as big as cats over there.
Yeah.
Yes,
I don't
sir.
Know how they can, I don't know how they maintain it.
Man, they got everything they eat. They got a big city to run around in, you know. I mean, talking about that's probably feasted over there for them.
Look, we're going to have to get some of them Louisiana Gators and some of them New York Rats, and we're going to have a battle royal with them and see who come out on top.
They got to be a mandate on extermination. They got to be an extermination mandate or something.
Straight up. Hey, they ain't going to stand a chance with no gator. It could be a baby. It's all good. What's supposed to happen to them is going to happen.
That's a way to look at it. So in terms of where you see the hip hop, you know, scene right now, I mean, obviously coming out of Louisiana, shout out to OG Bezel, one of our most favorite guests, had one of the most hilarious interviews you've ever done. You know, yourself, 504, Icy Girl. How does it feel to be part of that new wave, really keeping, you know, tradition alive and really showing everybody that y'all still got more coming and it's, you know, beyond what everybody had heard previously?
Man, it's like a nonstop thing. There's this dude, his name is Los Music, and I'll be honest with you, me and this dude, we talked for a few hours before we even started to do music together.
Mm-hmm.
This is my brother. This is my producer. He sing. He rap. We do a lot of stuff together. A lot of the music that we have, the Freaky Girl song, the Inside the People album. You know, we had another project we did called Brain Freeze. Me and this dude, you know what I'm saying? We just gelled together like crazy. And I would say, like, people, they don't know that it's so much of talent or, you know, so much amazingness, so much greatness that's in one spot. You know, everybody a rapper, everybody doing this, everybody trying to do music. You know, that's the thought process that everybody has. They usually, like, you know, overwhelmed with music. Everybody got a microphone now. Technology didn't got good. You know, I could do it on my phone. I could do it at the house. You know, no mixing, no mastering, just a dirty cut. You know what I'm saying? And people out there, they just got a soapbox to stand on and say what they want. And they'd be surprised whenever they actually hear something that got quality. You know, we put the work in and we actually sit down and hone the craft and, you know, it means something to you. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're putting out, it's like your baby or something. You know, you got to take care of it, nourish it, let it grow. And then when it get out there, you know what I'm saying, it's going to flourish. So that right there is like, it's a big deal for me. You know what I'm saying? And for my team, my crew, shout out to my brother Daylight. He, you know what I'm saying? He all the way out there from New York, Coney Island, you know what I'm saying, Staten Island. And then at the same time, he go all the way down to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? I got another homeboy, Primo Suave. This is all family I'm talking about. And you see, like, people like that you meet, and it's like real is rare. So you see a real person, and when you connect with them, it's like it makes it all worthwhile. You see, and those people right there, they quality people, they genuine people, and it makes the music even better when you could do something that means something with somebody who you know is real, who you know is gonna hold it down, who gonna have integrity with their music, and they speaking genuine stuff. Like it ain't no game. It ain't for the play.
You could also explain the importance of having your songs mixed, like properly mixed, because it's like a lot of people have dope music and dope songs, but it sounds like shit.
Yeah, man, that right there is a real big deal. It's like whenever you have a car, you want everybody to see it, but you went mud riding the night before and you ain't took the time out to go and clean it. It could be a brand new car. It could be a brand new truck. You could have some nice rims on that thing. You know what I'm saying? It could be sitting pretty. But if it's dirty and I can't see it, then I don't even want to look at it. It's like, oh, man, that's just one of them people who like to go ride in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same. That's the same thing with mixing your songs. If you don't put no mix on it, man, I done seen people, they cut it off in the first couple of seconds. Quickly. Like, I'm not even going to listen to it. I'm not going to even make my ear go through that bull. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a important thing. You got garbage if you're not mixing it. Straight up. It's like the dirty dumpster juice.
Yeah.
Especially when they be like, nah, man, is the song going to get a little better? I'm like, nah, I can't even listen to it from the start.
it ain't getting no better until you put that money up and make sure it's sounding right. Because the quality is everything, man. That first impression, man, you don't never get that chance back. You don't never get it back again. So the first thing they're going to think is you got dirty music. Like, Your music quality suck, it don't sound good, and I can't listen to it. And they gonna always have that correlation with you because that's the first time they heard it.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing about what we do in terms of journalism, because part of our job with this is that we watch a lot of artists in terms of how they do videos. On Off the Cuff Radio, we're not about putting on nobody on blast in terms of trying to humiliate people. We can be critics about things, but we're never going to be disrespectful to anybody. But when we watch some of these videos, you know, when we watch some of these videos out here, you know, online with these artists trying to get out there, we look at King and me be looking at it like, what is this dude doing? Like, I mean,
what's up with this BET Uncut budget?
I mean, the camera filter be terrible. The video has no concept. Basically, they use just a requisite regular formula, a whole bunch of niggas jumping around in it, and it's like, you know.
Man, they better off just using the Polaroid,
like,
bro. I'm serious, man. They be like, y'all be killing. They be killing us with that, man.
Yeah, I feel you all the way. I see it, and I be thinking the same thing. Like, oh man, why? And sometimes it be somebody with a budget, and they still doing it wrong. Like, it got some good quality, but the actual substance of it was, oh my goodness, like, why? Like, man, you're wasting your money. Or somebody else's money, whoever money it
is.
I feel you.
We like, the song is dope. We want to like it. But then they hit you upside the head with the $600 video.
Yeah. And one thing about it, you know, Pat, when you look at it from a perspective of what it means in terms of where the video is, you know, like anything, like you said, the video is, it's like a job interview. It's a visual job interview that artists have to understand that you are making that introduction to your audience in terms of what they're seeing from it. So
right.
If you don't present, it's like so many artists, it's like how many times have we seen that meme where it says, where it has the artist wearing an outfit, you know, jacket $1,000, belt $1,200, you know, shoes $200, jeans $300, shirt
$100.
But they don't put no money into the, whatchamacallit, the budget in terms of the video, like the promotion, $30, video shoot,
yeah,
$50.
Yeah.
On the
chain
called
Mo's
in the video.
Come on,
yeah,
win. It's the
like,
wrong way.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. People got to understand, you know, when you're doing it like that, it's not, you're going to only get what you put in to the game in terms of you want people to see that you take this seriously, because people are going to look and they're going to know if this is something that, and from that perspective, that you really, really, really are trying to move with it. Now,
right.
If there's one dude I can say out in Louisiana I'm really respecting over a lot of the years, what he has done as Currency in terms of how he has been moving on that independent with Jet Life.
Yeah, man.
Those that have never seen, I mean, what is it? How does an artist get to that level where they basically are able to move on their own?
For anybody that hasn't seen his videos on YouTube, oh my God! Between, I don't know which is more stupendous, the car or his house.
Man, that dude definitely got it. He got a well-oiled machine running together. He got it together. I'm talking about all the way. Shout out to Spitta. Man, I've been on Spitta since them Young Money days whenever he was on the bus with Wayne. And, I mean, like, this dude right here, he take his time. You know what I'm saying? He ain't trying to rush nothing. He ain't trying to just throw it out there just to say he out there. He's taking his time with it, and he putting out quality stuff, quality material every time. And he not trying to follow anything. They creating their own wave, Jet Life, and they're going on that. Nothing else. I love that about them. They stay original, man. Like, they don't try to follow no trends or, you know, I'm a rap like this because of so-and-so or such-and-such. They do their own thing. And they make sure they put out quality music. And that's the type of stuff, you know what I'm saying, we directed ourselves at. You know, staying in our lane, not necessarily trying to follow nobody, but looking at, you know, what's being done and making sure we keep our quality and staying true to ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know what's dope
building
on what T-Max was saying about, he was saying this earlier about getting your name out there and using your brand to get out into social media and such like that. You know, one thing that I found that was dope about you was you actually had one of the brothers, Brother Ben X, he noticed you. Now, how did that happen?
Man, he was actually on the live. Shout out to Brother Ben X, man. Shout out to the whole BWO. Man, I'll tell you like this. I'm looking at his videos. I'm seeing what he's talking about. A lot of people, you know what I'm saying, they get real finicky whenever it comes to, like, religion and things of that nature. They act like they can't learn something from somebody who don't believe what they believe. And I don't get turned off. I won't turn nobody off like that. You know what I'm saying? So I was actually paying attention because he caught my ear a few times on a few occasions. So one day he was on his live, and he was like, man, look, I just want to hear some talent. I want to hear somebody that's, you know, spitting something raw, something real. If you singing, you rapping, whatever you're doing, you know what I'm saying? We doing a talent show. And I was like, man, I know he ain't about to do that for real. I was like, man, hold on. Let me see. Press a little couple of buttons. I was like, man, yeah, I got something fun. And we had just dropped that song, me and Lowe's Music, man. It's called Brother. And, you know, of course, with Brother being in his name, I was like, man, I'm about to get him. Now, I didn't even know that he had that song, Hit Him With The Boom. But it's crazy because I went on there, I spit what I spat. And at first they thought I was going to sing, and they was talking crazy because they thought I was going to sing. And I told them, I was like, man, I don't even do the hook. My brother do the hook. His name Los, and, you know, he in Port Arthur, Texas or whatever. I said, but I'm going to do the hook so y'all could, you know, get the feel of the song. And, man, I promise you, when I started rapping, it's like I saw the comments in the live. Because, you know, when people live, they going to kill you. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, they gonna let you have it. They was being genuine, you know what I'm saying? They were, the comments was bad at first. Oh, this dude can't sing. Get him out of here. What's going on, Brother Ben X? Why you got this dude on? You ain't clicked him off yet? All that crazy stuff. And then when I started rapping, oh, he got some fire. Oh, that's fire. Ooh, look what he said. Oh, that boy Cole, man, this is crazy. He tricked us. He fooled you. Oh, and that, all of that stuff started coming out. So it was crazy. You know, I say I like the reaction. So it was crazy just to see the comments. I was almost thrown off by it. Like, I almost stopped rapping because I was laughing how the reactions was changing. But it's funny because, like, I kept going. I finished it out. And Brother Ben X had the same reaction. Oh, man. Man, that boy had y'all thinking that he didn't know how to sing, and then he came over here and he hit us with the boom. Man, it was just an awesome moment. It was excitement. It was like that feeling all over again. Like I talked about, you know, when I first started and I rapped at the homecoming. You know what I'm saying? It was like that feeling all over again. because seeing somebody that you know that got knowledge and you respect, you know what I'm saying, they give you that same respect, is just, you know, it's just full circle.
Yeah, and one thing about it is iron sharpens iron, intelligence always going to increase with intelligence. And when you have like minds coming together who are able to make it work, you know, it's all wisdom and it becomes, you know, you become wiser for it. In terms of fan interaction, in terms of seeing that reaction, when you do a show and you see the audience rapping your words along with you, how does that feel in terms of knowing that your music has gotten out there in such a wide and grand fashion?
Crazy. It's hard to actually put it in words. You know what I'm saying? Because that right there is like the best compliment that you could ever possibly get or feel or whatever. It's bigger than everything else. Man, they had a few shows, you know what I'm saying, that it kind of happened like that, like to where, you know, we wouldn't expect it. One time I was actually doing a show with Bone Crusher, and I saw that we had a real hood crowd. Nobody was really listening to nobody. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was in their own element. They wasn't paying attention to nothing. And I seen
right.
it before I went on stage. You know what I'm saying? So I went to everybody in the crowd, and this goes back to me grinding in the streets, rapping for people, selling CDs. Like I said, I could sell you a blank CD because I done rapped to you. I done made you feel good. You know I could rap. The CD could be blank. You still be happy. Man, look, I went to everybody that wanted to listen in the club, and I rapped to them before I went on stage. I went to each and every person who would listen, and I told them all. I was like, look, man, my name is P.A.T. I'm performing. I'm rapping right before Bone Crusher. And, man, look, I want you to, you know, be down for this music. If I'm fire, man, just say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, show some love or, you know, whatever. And, man, bro, it was a lot of them like, man, hey, I'm not going to say nothing if it ain't hot. You better be hot. Come on, spit something right now. And then I'm spitting for everybody that I possibly could in the crowd. Man, I'm telling you, I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And whenever I did that, you would have thought I was from Lake Charles. Because the whole crowd, I'm talking about the whole crowd, it's like it was a fixed fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I promise you, they showed me so much love, bro. It was crazy. I still think about that show today because, man, it was like it was a different type of crowd. So I had to do something to make sure I got that type of reception. And, man, they was all into it, saying they didn't know the songs. Like, they didn't know the songs before the night. And they were singing the hooks and singing songs with me while I was gone. And that was just amazing. Like, can't explain it.
Man, I mean, but that's called reaching out and touching the people. I think that sometimes don't always understand in terms of that social interaction and what it takes, because when you're dealing with any artist, your fans are going to be there after the quote-unquote popular public or the casual public has kind of, you know, looked at you as, okay, they've come and they've gone. Your diehard fans, the ones that are really devoted to you, are the ones that are always going to be there. And that's how you maintain longevity in a career. Exactly. Like King said, ride or die.
Yeah.
And that's the key that a lot of times I think a lot of artists don't understand in terms of, you know, where they may come from an area and they act like they've already made it, you know. And I'm like, no, you haven't, you know, because the thing is, I don't want to step on no toes when I say this, but it's like when you look at certain artists, their whole thing is just, you know, they're from their hood, and I'm like, you know, it depends on where your hood really has a place in the game. Like when you look at a guy like BG Perico out in South Central representing Broadway Gangsta, he's got LA locked down of many artists out there in Los Angeles, but he's got his name out there where he's literally like they know who he is. But
right.
But also South Central carries a lot of weight, You know, just like where you from carries a lot of weight out there. You
yes,
know,
sir.
So it's like your hood really can, your hood can really stamp you. But if your hood is a spot where you really not having that presence in hip-hop, you know, or your music hasn't gotten out there enough like that to where, like, it's like with Griselda. And King will tell you, I'm a huge Griselda fan. Nobody knew hip-hop in Buffalo until Griselda kicked the door down. And it's
right.
Like, they single-handedly put that city on the map. But the music was fire and still is. But it's like you got some artists coming from these other spots and they try to act like they're celebrities. And I'm like, no, you're a local celebrity because your music hasn't gotten outside of where you're at. You know.
Exactly. You gotta reach the people, man. The people make that decision. You shouldn't even have to say it.
Right, that part, right there. So, I mean, as you go on in your journey, man, I mean, who would you like to work with? You know, who have you reached out to? Who's reached out to you?
I do have something with one of the West Coast legends, a.k.a. Eminem's favorite artist, a.k.a.
Okay.
The brother Crooked Eye, King Crook.
Oh, Long Beach, stand up, 562.
Long Beach, yes, sir. Man, shout out to him, man. He definitely blessed one that my brother Lowe's Music had produced. And it's called Soul For Real. Me and him smashed that. If we could go to the people that I would like to work with, man, I want a Wayne verse. I want a Andre 3000 verse. I want a Nas verse. You know what I'm saying? I want a Big Crit verse. I want a J Electronica verse. You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I'm saying? I want, man, they so much. I want a Toby and Gagwe verse in Wigwe. Man, Toby be killing it. And, I mean, it's like a lot of people out there, man. I like storytellers. I like the ones who came before, the ones who came after. But most important, I like the ones who are, like, just straight fire. Like, you could put on some music and you'll never have to skip. You know what I'm saying? UGK, Bun B, Scarface. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want stuff like that in my repertoire to be able to, you know what I'm saying, say, like, I actually have a real joint that I did with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And, I mean, one thing about it, look, you know, when you name some of those guys, I mean, look, Andre 3000 came out of retirement recently, so who knows? I mean, we might be able to get something. We'll be able to make that happen.
Man, hey, I want to make that one happen so bad because 3 Stacks is nothing to play with. And I just want to see what I'm going to say on a track. Like, knowing that, you know how, like, okay,
yeah.
You could go in and you could do a song and have that. You have an energy that you have like you already normally have. It's like I have the energy that I'm already blessed with. But then somebody say, oh, you're going to do a song with so-and-so or such and man, we're going to send this to such and we're going to get a verse from. He already said, yeah. We're going to get an Eminem verse. Oh, Lord. Eminem? We're going to get a Joyner Lucas verse. Oh, Joyner, all right. Then my pen game got to be a strategically amazing place. The energy level is going to be higher. You know, the hype, the motivation, the influence is all going to be there. I don't feel like I'm going to be nervous whenever it comes to that point. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be ready for it and knock it down or knock it clean out the park.
Yeah, man. I mean, but the enthusiasm and the passion you have and what you do, man, I mean, we just feel it. I mean, we just see that you're, like, you're genuinely so happy in this place in life. I mean, what does it mean to you in terms of hip-hop, in terms of what the culture stands for? What does it represent to you?
Man, love. A whole bunch of it. I could tell you, like, whenever I went to New York, you know, like I said, I ain't have family, I ain't have friends and stuff like that. I went to a place where I knew I could record it, talked to some people online, met them online, and just, like, was trying to find a studio and go to a studio. That's basically how I started. And they had a lot of places that I went to. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, how New York is so bad and so messed up and gutter and, you know, I mean, we all got our places. Everybody got, you know, certain places where, you know, you can't go here or, you know, it's messed up over here, whatever. But more than most people know, man, them people show me love, bro. Them people show me love. They had a couple of times where it was like, hey, man, what you doing around here? Hey, man, come here. Come here. Who are you and why are you here and what you doing and all of that stuff? But they realized I didn't know no better. Hey, man, I'm from Louisiana. Hey, bro, I ain't with nobody. What's that? I ain't claiming no set. I'm not a gangster, none of that stuff. I'm a man. I'm a man about mine. If I'm not supposed to be around here, I'll go to another street. But I'm going to a show. I do music. I rap. I'm from Louisiana. Oh, he not from around here. Man, come over here, bro. Hey, man, you're not supposed to be walking around here like that. Why you by yourself? Why you ain't on a bus? Why you ain't on a train? Things like that. Like, man, and guiding me through the jungle pretty much. You know what I'm saying? And that was crazy to me. That was crazy to me because I heard so many bad stories. It's like I was thanking God that I wasn't one of those stories. You know what I'm saying? Because it could have easily happened. But it was like something was there for me. You know what I'm saying?
Look, once it's there for you, can't nobody take it away from you.
Yeah, especially when we heard around the time, like, the coastal biases that New York had at the time. So
exactly. Like man, hey, and they was letting me have it. They let me have it, too. Oh, man, Louisiana, all they do is snap music down there. Oh, man, they just bouncing. They ain't doing nothing. You can't rap. You better be good. You know, all that stuff. And I was representing. I was like, hey, bro, number one, you ain't going to talk about nobody from Louisiana. Not on my watch. I was like, and on top of that, you think we can't rap? Let me show you. I'm going to show you. Tell me I can't, and I'm going to show you I can.
Look, I mean, a lot of times, too, when you're dealing with certain people from certain places, but we know about Louisiana from the street and the music, and we can co-sign both of them. I'm like, UNLV, shout out to Lil Yachty. And when they had that song, Drag Him in the River, you know, when I try to tell, I tell heads about how they get down Louisiana, I'm like, dude, that's the Gulf Coast. They got water for miles on top of miles on top of 30 miles. I'm like, dude, they chop you up and drop you in the water out there. They ain't never going to find you.
Never, like, ever, ever. you don't have to tell everybody. Don't tell everybody, though. Don't tell everybody.
But musically, look at the tradition. I mean, you mentioned Jay Electronica, you know, and I mean, how could I be remiss from earlier? Because Jay's from New Orleans. A lot of people don't know that from there. You know, so
and one of the coldest spitters spitting on the mic.
We're so glad he's lying. Album now, although it took him all these damn years to finally do it, but we're glad he finally But, nah, shout out to Jay, man. I mean, that dude, Jay, like, he's, I remember the 2009 when we first heard Exhibit B and C, and we were like, oh, my God. We damn near had a heart attack when we heard that. We were like, who is this dude? Where is the album?
But, yeah.
And he would drop, like, a track every 3-4 years, and everybody's still like, damn, where's the album, dude?
It was a cliffhanger. That's all it is. That's strategic. You know what I'm saying? He know what he's doing because he keep him wanting it, like, you know what I'm saying, and just spoon feed.
And he played it smart because he dropped it when niggas weren't going nowhere. We was on lockdown when he dropped it.
Yeah. That's what I say, strategic. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, so it's like everybody in the house, ain't nobody got nothing else to do but sit and listen to music.
They gotta listen. They gotta listen.
Now,
and has Jay on half the songs?
Yeah.
Strategic.
Yes, sir.
So in terms of, Pat, what you've seen with the pandemic and how we're kind of slowly coming out of it,
What have you felt in terms of artists during the time that we were inside? How do you feel about artists committing themselves to the craft in terms of dedicating and doing their due diligence in terms of sharpening their pen to really get it in terms of really becoming better artists? What have you seen
Man,
in terms of what has come out of it?
I feel like it's definitely broadening the horizons of other people who wasn't necessarily trying to get into other things. And then, like, mm-hmm. because they were sitting down, it was like, oh, I might as well try this. I might as well go ahead and do that. Oh, I'm going to learn more about the business. Oh, I'm going to see where this come from. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it was like they started getting multifaceted. And as far as the pen game go, I mean, once you sitting there and you just relaxing, can't go nowhere, they got mandates and curfews and shutdowns and lockdowns and all that crazy stuff, man, that's probably when the best music could come out. So it seemed like everybody was dropping. And I like that. I like it. Oh, I like it a lot because that don't do nothing but make me feel like, oh, yeah? Oh, you dropped this? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm about to go in the studio. I'm about to pick my pen up. I'm going to, ooh, watch. Ooh, wee.
Yeah,
I got something.
And these guys had no excuses. These guys had no excuses. It's like y'all locked in. Y'all need to have a lot of work in.
Yeah, man, for real.
Yeah. But one thing about it is having that creative spirit and that drive. I think that's what – because if you really, really dedicate yourself, and I tell anybody – the game is going to get – you're going to get out of the game what you put into it. And, you know, when it gives – any opportunity that it gives you to concentrate on how you can hone your craft for the masses, I think it should always be taken advantage of, you know, whether you're a veteran or whether you're a novice, you know, starting out. Because the thing is just about reaching people. And if you're a veteran, you want to make people realize, you want to keep reminding people why you're esteemed in the game. And if you're starting out, you want to get people interested in listening to why they should give you an opportunity. So it's all about, you know, how you present it as such.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I think for you, man, I mean, we're supporting your movement all the way, you know. As we wind down on this hour, man, I mean, we like really, 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 we appreciate what you're doing. Goes without saying, you're welcome back anytime. Just keep pushing forward, man, and keep that same love, enthusiasm, passion, and all that positive energy going forward, you know, because that's going to be the fuel that drives you. Your love for the culture is evident, man. Just keep making, you know, your love, you know, for the game, you know, express through the quality product that you put out, man. Keep doing it. Don't stop doing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's for sure. I definitely appreciate it. Greatly appreciate it. And shout out to everybody listening. Shout out to y'all. Definitely off the cuff, man. It was a pleasure. And I promise you, it ain't no thing, man. We family now, so I'm going to be back. That's no doubt.
That's for sure, man. And what we going to do, is to let people know what you be putting down and what you be bringing to the table. We about to play one of your songs now.
Definitely. Let's do that.
Let's get it.
Hip-hop is my friend, picks me up when I am down. I feel the rhythm, I feel my heart through the sound. I am at peace, it takes my feet off the ground. Taking me deeper and I probably will never be done.
World's spinning crazy. about to slip off the axis. Mama still praying that we rise out the ashes. God keep him safe, don't let the devil gain access. The street still calling like the past ain't happened. She calling my phone like I ain't tell her get to stepping. He about to kick gold, don't even know I got a weapon. Keep smiling outside, but through the window I'm stressing. Anything is printing, man, shout out to Devin. Snoop talk the hustle, Pop gave a nigga heart. Biggie put the flavor in the rhythm of the art. Nas told stories, the history of hip-hop. The cadence of the 808, the snare that makes you hip-hop. The UGK funk in the school that can chop. Pimp feet top notch, place great top shop. As I cruise through your town, amp up loud. The hip-hop anime got a feel in my style.
Hip-hop is my
I'm feeling crisscross like Jermaine Dupri. Thinking yo wiggity wiggity whack, yo hip hop ain't G. I'm from that PA text where nothing came for free. You either serve or be served, you'd rather starve or eat. Music and starving the beat, ay, what the lyrics to me? That ain't gravy, that's grease. Some mashed potato type flows gotta go they weak. Supposed to be bobbing my head, but they I'm falling asleep. Thinking she got her a trick, but all she got was a treat. I hit that one with that river and send her ever down the creek. My Nina just like gum, I put her under the seat. Hip hop in the chamber, pack it back and repeat. So I can calm my nerves and relax my feet. My zipper just like a window, I roll it down, she can see. Big Mo in the cup, pull it up. She messed up with that bed, make it insane.
About to be on, I guess you didn't know when you had it. Fake love with the bad
Yeah. Y'all know who it is, man. Off the Cuff Radio. Doubleheader on the way. T-Max with the facts in the building. What's good? Hour number two.
Lounging, man. Look, we're getting ready to set it up for the second wave, man. So, look, I guess we're going to go ahead and get right to it. King, tell our audience about our next guest.
And this talented lady right here, you heard the song that we just played. Very talented individual. I mean, you heard her on American Idol. She's been on her grind, and she's here on Off the Cuff Radio to chop it up about her current moves, what she got going on, any projects coming out. What's all welcome? Ashlyn Jones, y'all.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you? It's Ashton.
What's going on?
What's goody?
She's hard working right now. She in the studio chopping it up with us.
Yeah. I walked outside. I have a studio session tonight. I've got some Afrobeat music that I'm working on, and it's about to be really, really dope. But, yeah, so I only have a few seconds to talk, but I really, really wanted to make sure that I chopped it up with you guys, and I just really appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate having you. Look, you got so much of the bubbly with the personality. We don't need no champagne, but we still living the life with
Period. Highlight.
Yeah, she came with some great energy. She came with some great energy, too. You know how cats come in, they be like, yeah, what up, son? They come with the ice grill. She came with some beautiful energy right here.
Oh, Lord. Yes, I'm happy. Life is great. God is good, and I'm doing some great things. I could be, you know, listen, I could be anywhere else, but I'm doing this, so... I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm glad that I have people that's rocking with me and that support me like you guys. So this is a blessing.
Definitely.
It's not a downfall. You feel me?
Definitely.
So thank you.
I guess we're gonna get right to it. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, when how you got into the game. You know, all the lanes you traveled. You know, and just being all sorts of the tremendous of terrific.
Yeah. So, man, it started. I started off getting signed to a publishing deal at 19. As a writer, I've been writing for a very long time. TV. You know, movie soundtracks, commercials, all of that. And then going from there and doing American Idol season 10, which was dope. That was a really great highlight of my career. And then after that, working with cats like Big Crit and McCray and on the Grammy Award winning album and getting a Grammy for that. And after that, you know, doing touring and all over the world. And, you know, working with people like Michelle Obama for her movement for a child obesity and just a lot of great highlights of my career. And just on a TV show now called Shine, that's the number one web series in the country that just got picked up for Netflix. So I'm excited about that, too. There's a lot of great things that's going on. So I'm just really, really trying to make sure that, you know, I stay on point and not let the fire die out and just keep working. And that's just really been my grind. That's been the focus.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's what
so
I'm talking
we
about
got cool.
Because, you know, you could tell by the way we vibing with you that all this is going to resonate for you because you're bringing great vibes. And it plays within your interaction, and then it's going to take you forward. Everything is about networking in this business at the end of the day.
That's really it. Yeah, that's really it. And, it, you know, people, I tell, like, other people, like, independent artists, and I tell them all the time, like, you never know who you meet. You never know who you talk to. So never, you know, never look down on anything or anybody. Like I'm telling you, like I've been in situations where, you know, somebody in a t-shirt and flip flops and a hat cocked backwards and some gold teeth, no, and dead ass, like just country as I don't know what, because I'm a country girl, and came to me with an incredible opportunity, and it kind of, you know, did some things in my career to change my life. So you never know who you're gonna meet. Always stay humble. You know what I'm saying? And that's really what I've been doing all my career. And it's got me to this point, and I'm excited about everything I'm doing. I'm just thankful that I've been able to do music. Since 2011, I've done this full time. So I quit my job when I went to American Idol, and I haven't looked back since.
I mean, we've had two. You know, you blessed us with a couple of firsts on this show, because you're the first artist we've ever had on this show in our long and illustrious history that's been on American Idol. And number two, you're the first Grammy winner that we've ever had on this show.
Aww.
So we're yeah, that's
a big
that's
deal
awesome.
To us.
Yes, it is.
Thank
it really
you.
Is.
Thank
so
it's a big deal that you guys
and,
acknowledge it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we, you know, because you got a little bit, so you don't want to take too much up. I guess we'll try to run through it the best we can. So you said in 2011 is when you decided you wanted to go ahead and do this full time. We've all seen the American Idol outtakes, and we know a lot of that stuff goes for dramatic, you know, effects in terms of what they do behind the scenes. But what is it like? Tell us about the process from when you decided to go on the show to what it was like in terms of actual audition, and then when you knew that this was something that you could make a living of doing. Yes, go ahead, please.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so what's crazy is, I'm gonna tell you, run down the story real quick. I was working as a manager at a shoe store, okay, and my mom calls me. Rest in peace to Ma Duke. She calls me on the phone while I'm at work and says, "American Idol is in town. You need to go try out." And the first thing I said was, "Mama, you know, I can't get off work and I got to work. You know, I can't go try out and do anything." And so she was like, "Trust me. I just feel it in my gut. Just go." And I was just like, "Okay, I'm going to see if I can get off." I talked to my boss. I told her, I said, "Hey, if you just give me a couple of hours, let me, you know, go and try out." And she said, "Well, I don't think you're going to be guaranteed to make it on the show, so why would you risk your job?" And I said, "Wow, okay." So I quit. I'm gonna quit. After 2 years I was there, I quit, and I said, "You know what? If anybody's telling me that, like, you know, I can't really work at an establishment like that. If you don't believe in me, if you don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, you know what? Forget it." So I quit that day, not knowing that I was gonna make it through. I just didn't know what was gonna happen. But I thought, if I don't take this chance, then, you know, you never know. So I went there in the audition process. I was number 8,838. I'll never forget it. It was 16,000 people that tried out that day, and I made it through. And it was just an incredible situation. Like, you know, that was the start of my career. So, yeah, it was really dope. And so people don't know that you have to try out for four producers on the show before you get to the actual judges. So that was a process. It took at least like 3 months for me to, you know, get in front of J-Lo and, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, we're doing with American Idol, it could be very competitive, and dealing with Simon Cowell, who was considered to be the ball and biggest ball busters out there. How would everything maintain with that? Like,
so
very
so
critical
yeah, Simon
of you,
Cowell
and did
was
you
not,
that in-
yeah. Simon Cowell wasn't there when I was on it. You know, that was a later. You know, it was Ryan Seacrest, it was Randy Jackson, Steven Tyler, and J-Lo. Simon Cowell wasn't
gotcha.
A part of that. Yeah. Yeah. So it was crazy. It was they loved me. They loved who I was as an artist. I really learned a lot from them, you know, and it was able to take me on. American Idol was a great experience to get me ready for everything, get me ready for performances on stage, get me ready for the TV, get me ready for interviews. So I take that and, you know, and I apply it to my career. So everything that I do, like, is American Idol was the start of it because it got me ready for it. So my performances on stage, I'm comfortable with that because of American Idol. My interviews, just everything that I do, just being on TV, mm-hmm. stage fright, all of that stuff. And I tell people all the time, you know, never downplay any of your accomplishments because those are the things that helped you get to the next level in your career. And so I've done a lot of great things, with, you know, to, for me, way bigger than American Idol. But if it wasn't for that experience, I would never be able to do what I'm doing today.
Mm. That's the biggest teacher.
It yeah. is. And, I'm, you, you know, you can't, you know, one thing about it, there's no substitute for experience actually doing it. What do people have to understand in terms of once they make that commitment to get on the big stage in terms of making music or just entertainment in terms of whether acting, mm-hmm. music, because you also have done voiceovers too, which is a form of acting. What do people have to understand in terms of that, of what the commit, in terms of what that commitment takes?
Yeah.
And how to be prepared for it.
Well, listen, I will say this, like, I would say, like, just like I was saying about taking steps of leaps of faith and, like, you know, sometimes you got to leave a job. You've got to, you know, struggle for a long time just to get to a certain place. You know, if this game is not comfortable and if you are trying to be comfortable, then this is not the career for you, for real. I say that to everybody. You can't settle. You got to constantly keep on, like, pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing and constantly pressing. So, you know, that's been my goal. Like, that's what I do. And I tell people that all the time. You have to, you know, if you get to a point where you're just, your energy gets down and you stop and you're getting lazy, then you can't expect any type of success. And so it gets hard. Like, for independent artists, sometimes we feel like we want to quit. And I feel like that for any artist, producers or whatever, like, sometimes you just feel like you don't want to keep going, and then you keep you press that one last time, and then something amazing happens in your career. So that right there is that's the goal right there. You got to keep doing stuff like that. I'll be in.
And I think people don't understand. I think a lot of people. Yeah, go ahead, King. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that people don't understand the making of not only a star, but the day-to-day grind that people have to put through to be a contributor to this culture, man. I mean, whatever it be, do singing, do podcasting, do the entertainment
mm-hmm.
industry, period. It's a whole lot that goes behind that.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of energy that we have to put out. And, you know, like, it's another thing, too, also wellness and taking care of yourself. You know, we see a lot of the artists from the past that are really not that old, you know, not taking care of themselves and getting into drugs and, you know, passing away early. Like, you know, we have to, you know, sorry for the music, guys, but we have to, you know, we have to look at ourselves and say, you know what, you got to take care of yourself. We've got to do better. And those situations that we see are learning lessons for us. And if you don't take the learning lessons from legends like that, then you'll never succeed. So that's what I do. I'm just so many learning lessons that I'm taking from other artists that I'm seeing, you know, from the past today. And I'm just like, okay, this is something I can't do, or this is something I should do. Apply it to your life or not, you know?
Yeah. You know, one thing about it, you know, Ash, with the celebrity life, you know, me and my bro, we always talk on the show so much about how people want that celebrity, you know, runway kind of, you know, yellow brick road, you know, path.
but don't understand all the ups and downs that go along with it. And like you said, we see a lot of people self-destruct under those lights because, you know, for those of y'all that, you know, do not watch American Horror Story, shameless plug, but it also applies to this. This season of American Horror Story, you know, is wild because it also, the premise of this season talks about what we will do for fame and how far we will go together and what we will get involved with. And, you know, for those who haven't watched it, you know, this season, that's a show to watch in terms of understanding the main character and, you know, him being a writer and, you know, being presented with something. A lot of people get into it but don't always understand it.
It's scary, man. It's scary. I'm going to have to check that out, though. I started watching that, like, I think the first season. I'm not a horror person. So little things that are scary for me, like, I don't watch. But but I definitely, I'm going to check that out. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's between that and a lot of music documentaries that gives people the insight of what goes on behind the entertainment business.
Yeah, it's really scary. Like for real.
Like if only people knew.
Yeah, go ahead, Kane. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask her next now. Well, now, with the song we just played, I think it was called Beautiful Summer, which was like a fabulous remix.
Dope Summer.
And it's cool.
Yeah, it's
Dope
fab,
Summer. Dope
fab remix,
Summer.
Dope Summer, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I have a feeling with this. This is not even a question, but based off your talent and what I observe, I guarantee you that we're going to start seeing more movies using your music down the road.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is just the beginning. This is a movement. Like, I've finally come into myself as an artist and what I want to be and how I want to sound. It takes so long. Like, you know, people come in the game thinking that's it and thinking that's just where it ends with them. And, you know, and no, like, this is just the beginning. And I finally learned how to take a lot of situations that happen in my life, you know, or what I'm feeling at that moment and just put it into song and, you know, and just feel it. And I write my own stuff. I record my own stuff. I have a studio in my place. You know, I work with a lot of producers. The only thing that I don't do is mix and master. I do everything else. So, I self-taught, you know, sometimes I don't feel like waiting for a studio or doing this, doing that, unless it's something that I have to do and it's paid or, you know, I have to go to another studio. But other than that, I love to work on my own music, and I collab with producers, you know, beat-wise, and I love that. So I don't know how to make beats and all of that, but everything else, I'm just like, you know, it's better for me to do it myself because then I know what I want to sound like. You know, I don't have to overpay, and, like, that's another thing with independent artists. You have to watch your pennies. You got to watch every dollar. Studio sessions cost a lot. Music videos cost a lot. Clothing and the look, everything that you have to do with that costs a lot. Marketing costs a lot. So when you're everything coming out of your pocket, you got to, like, there's some things that you have to learn how to do yourself. And I cut the cost on a lot of stuff, like, you know, hair and makeup for music videos, like, do it myself. You know, I have a stylist, but that she's dope. I'll never get rid of her. Shout out to Latrice. She's amazing, amazing, amazing. But, having someone engineering and all of that, I don't have to worry about none of that. I do it myself. I cut the cost because I know that I'm going to have to spend lots of money on marketing, you know. I know I'm going to have to spend money on the music video, somebody shooting it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody mix and mastering my stuff. So that's another thing, too. You know, you just have to, you know, find out where you're good at, you know, and learn it. It's okay to sit down and be a dummy and look up stuff on YouTube and try to, you know, and try to learn different things so that you don't have to pay somebody else to do it and you don't put your whole career in their hands because sometimes they're not going to do what you want them to do. So that's important.
Yeah, that's true. Now, in terms of you being a Grammy winner, what was that like in terms of having that accolade on your resume? How was it when you first found out that you were nominated in terms of being involved with the project? And also, what is it,
yeah.
How has that helped in terms of giving you the cachet of the industry in terms of moving forward with other endeavors?
That's a very good question. So when I found out I was in the studio, it did not hit me. I was like, oh, man, that's great. You know, it didn't hit me until probably, I would say, months later. Because I was just like, everybody's like, you know, like you just got a Grammy certificate for, you know, writing on a Grammy Award winning album. I'm just like, yeah, like, but I'm thinking in my mind that it wasn't that awesome because I'm not there and I didn't get the trophy and I didn't get this. But I didn't realize what it did for my career until I started, like, being able to, you know, move around in the industry better because of the title. So I was just like, oh, okay, what? Like, this is like, yeah, like, this is an accomplishment. Like, and I was just like, okay, yeah, but it's, you know, but for somebody else, it's not my song per se. And I'm just like, you know, and people are like, that doesn't matter, man. That don't matter. This is your name. This is on the certificate. This is your, you did this. You are part of this. And I'm just like, wow. And so my thing is, now I'm finally now, like, being excited about it, like, wow, you know, this is something I can put on my resume. This is something I can say as a title when someone introduces me, or, you know, I could put that alongside of singer-songwriter, American Idol, blah, 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 you know. And it really helps. I'm independent, man. This is an accomplishment for me. Like, I've never been signed. It's like, I'm just like, man, this it did a lot for my career. So my goal right now is, you know, I'm like, I'm working on lots of music because I'm ready for that next win, you know? And that's the goal right there, trying to get to that next win. So it really has done a lot. So I'm excited about it for sure.
Especially with music, especially with the way music is and how fickle the business can be at times, you got to have, like, four or five different things planned aside from this.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You have to have so much other stuff going because one thing don't pop off, the other thing, you know, you got something to fall back on, you know. And that's the key, too. You know, when you're independent like that, you can't just put all your eggs in one basket and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to make money. What if that doesn't work, you know? So I'm just blessed that God gave me different gifts that I can, you know, make money from or just, you know, just move around with. So being on a show and doing acting, voiceovers, all of that different stuff, it really, really helps out in my career. So that, because what I do is I'll pull from one thing and invest in my career like that, and then if that doesn't work, I'll do it the other way. So... Like, it's really, like, I wouldn't say a gamble, but it's definitely, like, something that is great that I'm using in my career right now. Oh, yeah, I'm on the
phone. No doubt.
Yeah. Guys, I don't want to cut this, but I've got to get back into the studio because
I'm on
the clock. Yeah. So I've got to get back. But I'm really excited. I thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Look, you're very welcome. We were happy to have you. You know, you're welcome back anytime. Anything you got new coming, you know where to come. You know to promote. Yes, we are here for
it. When I drop the next single, I would love to come back on here and promote it if I could. That would be really, really, really dope.
Yeah, we'll definitely get back with Angela. Big shout out to her for making this happen. You know, merging these two worlds together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome.
Yeah, so
thank
on that
you.
Note. Oh, yeah, where can people find you? Tell us your social media handle.
Oh, so, yeah. So, yeah, everybody, you can find me. My name is Ashton Jones. That's A-S-H-T-H-O-N. That's two H's, J-O-N-E-S. You can find me everywhere, Twitter, at Ashton Jones, Instagram, at Ashton Jones, Facebook, Ashton Jones, baby. And also, for any inquiries, teamashton@gmail.com. If you guys want to do any booking, anything, you just let me know. I'm with it.
Yeah. On that note, we out of here. Check us out this coming Friday. Again, same time, same channel. DJ Yella going to be from NWA, going to be in the building. So, y'all know the vibe.
Yes, yes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And we out.